You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna. Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I am your host, Landon Nelson, also known as Big Nelly, and I am joined by my co-host, the legendary Olin Pulley. Say hi, Olin.
Hi, everybody.
And last but not least, you guys know him as DJ Trey, the one and only Trey Hanna. Say hi, Trey.
Hello.
Now, let's dive into your NASCAR news. Yesterday, NASCAR Xfinity Series driver Jeremy Clements and last weekend's winner at Daytona International Speedway was disqualified due to violations found on the car. Clements will be stripped of his win and a spot in the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs.
There were
Yeah, it's
true. That's... I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but real quick, I think it's crazy how much NASCAR and the Xfinity Series, whether it be the NASCAR Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, anything like that, how much they are down the hammer on stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's some other stuff where like you cheat, you get we're gonna disqualify you from the race, take away your win, but we're just gonna give you a grid penalty. He got like kicked out of the league, which is crazy.
Yeah, he got stripped of his win. He got fined over, I believe, like seven. His team got fined like $70,000. They lost 70.
Did say kicked out of the league, right?
No, he didn't get kicked out. He lost his win. He lost his win.
Oh, I thought you said lost his spot, too.
No, he lost his spot in the NASCAR playoffs.
I thought you meant like he lost his spot in like the league.
No. He lost his spot in the NASCAR playoffs because he got stripped of his win. His team was fined like $70,000. They had the team had a penalty of 70 owner's points and 70 driver's points, so he got a penalty for that. There are 17 drivers that did not finish the race last Friday. Notable drivers that did not finish the race were playoff drivers Noah Gregson, championship favorite there, Landon Cassill, and Daniel Hemric. Now let's see how the last race of the regular season affected the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. First is Ty Gibbs. I know that the points are going to be like, you know, AJ Allmendinger should be first with 928 points, but due to Ty Gibbs having 5 wins this year and you get playoff points every time you win, I believe like 5 playoff points every time you win. So, you know, that's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 playoff points. He's had 5 pole positions, 9 top 5s, 14 top 10s, has 870 points. Second is AJ Allmendinger with 928 points. So he's been the more consistent driver out of Ty Gibbs, in my opinion. But he only has 3 wins. They're all coming on road courses this year. His last win came at Indianapolis. So he won the road course here. He won his 9th career road course win in NASCAR. So that's the most by any NASCAR driver. He's had 3 poles, 11 top 5s, and 20 top 10s. So 20 to 14 in top 10s, that's impressive. Like 20 top 10s of the season, that's incredible.
That's a big feat to have, like you said, that many top 10s. You're consistent. Not only are you consistent, you're consistently good.
Yeah.
So to finish top 10 most of the time, or not most of the time, but you know.
Yeah, most of the races this season.
Most of the races, yeah.
I mean... He's in a great car. He's got great equipment. Colleague Grayson have definitely improved since the beginning. They have that relationship, the technical relationship with Richard Childress Racing, so they're getting fantastic equipment. I mean, Richard Childress Racing, I mean, won 7 championships with Dale Earnhardt Sr. Earnhardt Sr. won over, I believe, 70 races.
And he stuck with him his whole career, even though he was the team manager and owner of
DEI. He stayed with Richard Childress Racing. He made 2 cars for Michael Waltrip and his son, Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's a fan favorite. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s won. Has
I'm
won.
Putting up 3 for Dale.
Yeah, 3 for Dale. Love Dale. Rest in peace to a legend.
They did that.
I believe Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s won most popular driver like consistently over like 10 times until he retired. Then Chase Elliott became the fan favorite. So moving on, we have Justin Allgaier, who is third in the championship with 848 points, 3 wins, 1 pole position, 10 top 5s, and 15 top 10s, driving for Junior Motorsports. Then you have fourth is Noah Gregson, who has 800 points. Wait, hold on. He has 813 points. Sorry, folks. Three wins, two pole positions, 12 top fives, and 16 top tens. 16 top tens is pretty good. Then you have fifth, Josh Berry, another driver for Junior Motorsports. So Junior Motorsports right now has three drivers in the playoffs, and that's impressive. That is very impressive. So he has 800 points. He is fifth in the standings right now with two wins, one pole position, nine top fives, and 13 top tens. Then you have sixth, Austin Hill, driving for Richard Childress Racing, who has two wins this year, but one of them coming the beginning of the season at Daytona International Speedway and at Atlanta Motor Speedway, the new configuration of Atlanta. It is now like a super speedway. They shortened the straightaway, and they put more banking in the corners to be like Daytona or Talladega. So it's really exciting racing at Atlanta. So he's won on two similar different tracks, both restrictor plates. So when he comes to, you know, Talladega, if he makes it this far in the playoffs and goes to Talladega in the round of 12, he's going to be a threat to win that race.
Going back to, I just want to touch on the Atlanta real quick. I'm a big fan of how the reconfiguration worked out.
Yeah, for sure.
The big banking, the straight line speed, the cornering speed, just amazing that, I mean, what they did with it. It's just amazing for the sport.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to see cars go fast, and that's exactly what bank turns and short straightaways do.
I mean, NASCAR's definitely changed from different eras, from especially to the 90s to now. The 90s was mostly short track racing. I mean, they had the restrictor plates, was, you know, beating and banging, short track racing, you know, fender to fender action.
You know who the king of that was? We touched on him already once.
Dale Earnhardt Sr. Yeah.
King of restrictor plates.
Yeah, he's only won Daytona 500. But did you know that he's won the most races at Daytona, like Expedition races, IROC, Busch Series,
Didn't he win a couple?
He won a couple of the July races, too.
Just a couple of, like, the races at Daytona. So, yeah, he was, like, wasn't he known as, like, the, not the king of Daytona, but, like,
he was, like,
a really good driver at Daytona, and then, but never could win the, February race.
He eventually did in 98.
And then he, unfortunately, he passed away in
2001.
In a crash.
In a crash. Blocking out
his, he was trying to
son and teammate.
Teammate, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. To make a
DEI 1-2. It was definitely a hard day for sports fans,
especially with his son, because of the fact that he witnessed his dad's own death.
Yeah, I mean, he picked up second place and immediately
crashed and died.
Michael Waltrip didn't realize until like later after he was celebrating in victory lane that
and
he had passed.
It was Darrell Waltrip was on that call. Yeah, which was crazy. And
Darrell Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt Sr. go way back.
Right.
I mean, they were friends for years.
Yeah,
Everyone thought after when they crashed in like the, I believe it was the it was either the 70s or 80s at Martinsville, because he's like, when Dale Earnhardt Sr. made that famous like quote, he's like, I was just rattling his cage a little bit, like he bumped him out the way, and they both crashed, and they were all fans were like, no, Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Darrell Waltrip don't like each other, but they've always
been really close competitors,
and they were good friends on and off the track.
I mean, the friendship between Darrell and Dale was probably one of the helping factors of getting his brother Michael a spot.
Dale Earnhardt Sr. always liked Michael. He was really good in the Busch Series. He had raced in Cup. He just didn't land the competitive rides, and it took him a while to win that first, you know, race, because he wasn't competitive equipment. I mean, I think one of his best rides was probably in 98. I know 98 Daytona 500, driving for the Wood Brothers, and he was up front majority of the day. He had came close to winning a few times, but he just couldn't up in the Cup Series, and then 2001. And also, did you know his only other win was in the Daytona 500? He had two career wins, and one of them, it was another Daytona 500.
So both career wins were in Daytona?
Yeah.
At the big one?
Yeah, the big race.
It's crazy. That's like winning two 500s, like Indy 500s in IndyCar, and only having two race wins.
Yeah. So, about the Atlanta configuration, used to be, they hadn't repaved the surface since like 1998 or 90, yeah, it was, no, I believe it was 98 or somewhere around 93 to 98, it had been the rough. Mid to late 90s, it had been the rough surface. A lot of drivers really liked the rough surface because you're slipping and sliding, your
tires.
They
had more traction.
But the rough, With the rough surface, no, buddy. You didn't have more traction.
No, you had less traction.
You had less. That's why they liked it, because you were slipping and sliding the majority of the race, and you're fighting your car, and it was more challenging. Kevin Harvick, he was one of the best at Atlanta. His first career win came at Atlanta in 2001, and he stepped in when Bill Earnhardt Sr. passed away, and here comes this new hot rookie named Kevin Harvick, and he went on to win a championship 2014, drive for Stuart Haas, and has over 60 career wins. So, you know, he won one of the closest finishes in NASCAR at Atlanta on that rough surface. So he was a really big fan of it. But now the day and age in NASCAR is restrictor plates, road courses. That is how it's the majority of NASCAR is now. I mean, road courses are exciting as well. Late breaks, you know, it's different type of racing than restrictor plates. You're full throttle. Drafting, a lot of big crashes. We're going to dig into some of the big crashes.
I'm not a huge fan of NASCAR road courses just because of, I know NASCAR, the governing body, isn't too big on track limits.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah. Because,
like, I watched the Circuit America's NASCAR race. I believe it was Circuit America's.
Yeah.
But it was like, you watch, like, sure, IndyCar and F1 are way different.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's like apples to oranges. They just have an engine and wheels.
Yeah.
But completely different cars. But, like, I was watching it, and I'm like, dude, what? Like, I like NASCAR. I'll watch it. It's not my favorite motorsport. But just watching them, and I'm like, the little wiggly part at COTA, they were just, like, kind of just driving straight through it. And I was like, this isn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
But I do like ovals.
Yeah, I do like the ovals. I like the restrictor plates. Yeah. I'm a huge racing fan. I've, you know, grown up watching NASCAR. I was like forever. So, like, Tony Stewart was my guy because my dad liked him.
And my dad loves Tony Stewart.
Loves Tony Stewart. And I've always liked him. And then I got to know, you know, who Dale Earnhardt Sr. was. And then I became a huge fan of him. My Uncle Jeff was. I have a huge, you know, huge, like, little cabinet of diecast of Dale Earnhardt Sr. my uncle Ben gave me. So let's move it on. We're gonna keep talking about
that was, you know, a long tangent.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna keep talking about the Xfinity series. So you have seventh is Brandon Jones with 669 points, one win that came at Martinsville, one pole position, four top fives and eight top tens. And then you have eighth Jeremy Clements, which he's been disqualified at Daytona, so he will not be racing in the playoffs. So you can boot him out of the playoffs. So that will move Riley Herbst up to eighth in the standings for the playoffs. 643 points. He has zero wins, one pole position, five top fives, and 15 top tens. And then you can move Sam Mayer to ninth, who has 622 points, zero wins, one pole, eight top fives, and 12 top tens. And then you can move Daniel Hemric into 10th, who has was it? Yeah, it was 10th. Yeah, 10th. So you can move Daniel Hemric into 10th, who has 569 points, zero wins, one pole position, two top fives, and nine top tens. Then you could slide Landon Castle into 11th, who has 548 points, zero wins, zero poles, three top fives, and nine top tens. So Jeremy Clements being disqualified from Daytona brings Ryan Sieg back into the playoffs, a small one-car team. He had a win last year at Talladega. So, he didn't. That was Brandon. That was Brandon. So, Brandon Brown, he did. So, that's Ryan Sieg. Ryan Sieg will be in the playoffs this year. He has 536 points, zero wins, zero poles, one top five, and nine top tens.
How's my boy Kimmy doing?
Kimmy?
In the playoffs. Or not in the playoffs, but in the season.
Kimmy, he only raced one race at Watkins Glen and he crashed, so he did not finish.
I saw a thing, it was a pretty funny meme. It was like, because the NASCAR playoffs is a little different than IndyCar and F1. Like, IndyCar and F1, you just finish, whoever finishes with the most points wins. Yeah. But NASCAR, they do the playoffs and everything like that.
Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of the playoff system. I mean, I think it really struck me when Kevin Harvick in 2021, nine races in NASCAR, dominated the season and does not win the championship. And I was heartbroken because I was like, wow, he can't go out like this. He went nine races and not win the championship.
But there's guys like, you're talking about like some of these guys that are in like fifth place, fourth place, like top 10 that have no wins.
Yeah, like,
and they're gonna make the playoffs. And let's say they make like
they'll be like low seed in the playoffs because right. they have no win. Like if we had no playoffs today, if we did not have the playoffs, Brian Blaney would be like third or fourth in a championship because he's been super consistent this year. He's had like 700 points or something crazy like that. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't be.
I think
16th or 15th in the playoffs right now.
I think NASCAR should be kind of like the other two, where if you. I mean, if you do well, you should be rewarded with points going yeah. to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not you should playoffs.
Playoffs. Like, I think that's, I get it because they're trying to make it more exciting and bring, you know, more audiences in to watch NASCAR, but I think that they're losing less interest in long-time NASCAR fans because of this playoff system. I don't like it. Yeah. Like, it really hurt me. 9 wins from Kevin Harvick does not win the championship. That was like taking a shot to the chest. Like it was terrible. Like it was it hurt a lot. So
but the meme that I saw about Kimmy, it was like, you know that the meme where like the girl's like doing the math, like she looks all confused and there's like a bunch of math symbols.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like NASCAR fans trying to figure out how NASCAR playoffs work so they can watch Kimmy. It was pretty funny. Or not NASCAR fans, but F1 fans.
Now on to your NASCAR Cup Series news. We're gonna move on. We're gonna get to the IndyCar news soon. So last Sunday, Austin Dillon won the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona International Speedway in the final regular season race. The race was so crazy. I mean, it was so crazy, folks. I'm about to dive into it right now. The race was originally planned to be run on Saturday at 7:30 p.m., but due to rain, it was postponed until 10 a.m. on Sunday. 21 out of 37 drivers did not finish the race. 21. That is insanity. 21 cars crashed and could
it's
not
crazy.
Finish. Yeah. It was mainly due to the big crash that occurred in a raining turn number 1 with 23 laps to go. So they were, you know, going through the gears, you know, going on the front stretch, going into turn number 1, it wasn't raining, but there had been, you know, on the radar, I mean, in Florida, you never know what's going to rain. It rains, I mean, at least once a day.
It rains once a day, and it's a heavy pour, and then after that, it's
sunshine.
It's sunshine, and everything dries up.
So, there had been, you know, rain in the area on the radar. On NBC, they were, you know, looking at the radar and stuff like that, and out of nowhere, turn number 1, it wasn't even raining in 3 and 4. It just started raining, and all you could see is, here comes Daniel Suarez in the lead, just hard right into the wall, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is insane. I mean, drivers like Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick almost made it through, and then he got crashed. He got in the wreck. Like, he was like sandwiched between two cars. Chris Buescher was in it. Chase Elliott. There's a lot more people I'm not listing on there. And here comes Austin Dillon, who is on the bottom of the racetrack, is going so slow, and just like full throttle and just takes the lead of the race.
Oh, is that the one that you showed me?
Yeah,
where it's like,
yeah.
Stay low. That was funny. Yeah, you sent me that for everybody listening. Big Nelly sent me this thing. It was like me walking through the hallway trying to get past people, and it was a crash. And it was the onboard cam of Austin Dillon. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about it. So, yeah, we talked about the big crash. There are a total of 3 big wrecks with more than 2 cars involved. In that race, only 16 drivers finished the race, and Austin Dillon was able to come home with the checkered flag by avoiding the big wrecks, not damaging his car, and being at the front of the field when it matters. Dillon locked himself in the playoffs with that win at Daytona. This is the first time since 2017 that Richard Childress Racing has had multiple cars in the NASCAR playoffs. This season, Tyler Reddick and Austin Dillon are both in the playoffs and will both have a shot at their first NASCAR Cup Series title. Dillon kicked out 2017 champion Martin Truex Jr. out of the playoffs. That was a huge shocker that Martin Truex Jr. did not make it to the playoffs this year. They've had a lot of ups and downs this year. They've had chances to score big points. I'm going to go back to New Hampshire in July. They could have won the race, but bad strategy call. They put him back. It's so hard to pass in New Hampshire. You want the track position. Kevin Harvick almost had a shot to win that race, but bad strategy. Went back to the back, pitted for 4 tires. I think other drivers took 2 tires, and they were able to gain the track position. And before too long, the four tires just kind of like leveled themselves out. The fresh four tires like leveled themselves out with the two tire changed on the other cars. And it was Christopher Bell who won that race. So he could have won there. He's had, you know, some ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs this year, trying to get points this year. He talked about in the interview, like, yeah, we could have scored plenty of points at other tracks, but we just didn't do strategies and issues and crashes over the season. It's just been a rough year for the 19 camp at Joe Gibbs Racing. So Martin Truex Jr. has made it into the playoffs the last seven seasons and has reached the championship four race the last five seasons. So he's made it to the playoffs the last seven seasons. And he has made it to the championship four race five of the last seven seasons. That is, I mean, the statistics are incredible. That is, you cannot beat that. You cannot beat that in, you know, NASCAR's day and age with the playoff system.
I always talk about consistency is key.
Yeah.
In motorsport, and that's very consistent.
Yeah, we're going to go back to 90s racing real quick. Look at Alan Kulwicki and 1992 champion. He only won two races that season, but he was extremely consistent that whole year and ended up winning the title. And it was the last, well, before Tony Stewart started his own race team, he was the last, you know, driver-owner championship in 92. And I think he led one more lap than Bill Elliott to win the championship. He was a mathematical genius. I mean, he even got a college degree at Wisconsin. He was extremely smart driver and extremely smart person and even worked on his cars and... Yeah, so anyways, now let's see how the final race of the regular season at Daytona affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. So right now you have Chase Elliott, who is first with 2,040 points, 4 wins, 4 poles, 10 top 5s, 17 top 10s. Second is Joey Logano, 2,025 points, 2 wins, 1 pole, 7 top 5s, 12 top 10s. Then you have third, Ross Chastain, with 2,020 points, 2 wins, 0 poles, 10 top 5s, and 14 top 10s. Fourth, Kyle Larson with 2 wins, 2,019 points, 3 poles, 10 top 5s, and 13 top 10s. Fifth is William Byron with 2,014 points, with 2 wins, 0 poles, 4 top 5s, and 5 top 10s. Then you have sixth is Denny Hamlin with 2,013 points, 2 wins, 3 poles, 5 top 5s, and 7 top 10s. Seventh is Ryan Blaney, who has 2,013 points, 0 wins, 3 poles, 8 top 5s, and 12 top 10s. Moving on to Tyler Reddick, who is eighth in the standings, with 2,012 points, 2 wins, 1 pole, 8 top 5s, and 11 top 10s. Next is my fan favorite, ninth, Kevin Harvick, 2,012 points, 2 wins, 0 poles, 7 top 5s, and 13 top 10s. 10th, Christopher Bell with 2,011 points, 1 win, 3 pole positions, 7 top 5s, and 14 top 10s. 11th, Kyle Busch with 2,010 points, 1 win, 0 poles, 6 top 5s, and 13 top 10s.
Rowdy.
Yeah, rowdy. 12th is the Indiana boy, Chase Briscoe from Mitchell, Indiana, with 2,009 points, 1 win, 1 pole, 3 top 5s, and 4 top 10s this season. 13th is Daniel Suarez with 2,007 points, 1 win, 0 poles, 6 top 5s, and 10 top 10s. And then 14th is Austin Cindric, the rookie who's in my opinion, is going to be Rookie of the Year this year, with 1 win. It was the biggest race of the year at Daytona International Speedway, the Daytona 500, 1 pole, 5 top 5s, and 8 top 10s. 15th, Alex Bowman, 2,006 points, 1 win, 0 poles, 3 top 5s, and 10 top 10s. And rounding out the playoffs is Austin Dillon with 2,005 points, 1 win, 0 poles, 4 top 5s, and 8 top 10s. So next race for next weekend on Sunday, September 4th, the NASCAR Cup Series will be racing at the place too tough to tame called Darlington Raceway. Next Sunday will be the start of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs as well. Also, folks, next weekend is a throwback weekend, so make sure to check out the driver's throwback paint schemes.
I love throwback weekend. It's awesome. So nice.
It's so cool to see the throwback paint schemes.
I wish more motorsports did it. I like when they do it in NASCAR. I think they should do it at like Monaco. I think that they should do it at like Indy for like the Grand Prix.
That'd be amazing.
Like,
that'd be really cool.
Indy is such a historical track. But yeah, I love throwback week.
So, you know, make sure to check out those throwback paint schemes like a Richard Petty or Dale Earnhardt Sr. throwback. You know, it'd be cool, another mellow yellow paint scheme throwback.
We need to see like
Kyle Petty or Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder.
We need to see like a blue and yellow Wrangler.
That'd be really cool.
Or like a, you know what I miss? What was his, the amp?
The 88 amp, that was sick.
The green and silver amp with the red numbers.
I know, that was amazing. I know Kevin Harvick's having a throwback to like the Bush, like old Bush Light, like, or just Bush Beer, like, you know, logo and paint scheme. It kind of looks like Cale Yarbrough's because Cale Yarbrough used to race, have a Bush sponsor on his car. So it'd be cool to see a throwback to that. And then also NASCAR Xfinity Series is Saturday, September 3rd from Darlington Raceway as well. Also throwback weekend for them. So it'll be their start of the playoffs for them next weekend. Now, let's move on to Trey with your IndyCar news. What do you have for us today, Trey?
All right, so this weekend has been a very eventful weekend in IndyCar. So, first of all, the McLaren SP will make a 3 or 4 car team next year, and have Pato O'Ward, Alexander Rossi,
Alex Palou.
That's a good ad. Sorry, I can't say it.
That's a good ad.
And Daniel Ricciardo in IndyCar next year.
Yeah, there was news.
Ricciardo's going to IndyCar?
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, I showed him that yesterday. Like, they came out, like, I think it was an article like 2 days ago before I showed him it. And Zach Brown offered him a ride in IndyCar. He wanted him to stay with the team, but he'd have to race in IndyCar. So we'll see. That'd be amazing if Daniel Ricciardo went to IndyCar.
So it's not official yet.
But
it could
happen.
An
offer is on the table for Daniel Ricciardo to race in IndyCar next year.
That's so cool. I would love to see him, zipping around the track in an IndyCar.
Look at Sebastian Bourdais. He left Formula One. He didn't have the most success of Formula One. A lot of Formula One fans thought that he was brought into Formula One early, and he went to IndyCar, and he won like 3 championships, and
I mean, that was
a ton
the
of
thing
race
with,
wins. And
Santino Ferrucci. Yeah,
can we get back on the topic of racing, because Big Nelly, who do you think is going to win the Portland race and the championship?
Portland race and the champion. Okay, this one's a tough one. Portland, I'm hoping for a fantastic day from Joseph Newgarden. I am a Newgarden fan. I'm Team Penske all day. I'd like to see Newgarden win the championship. Either Will Power or Newgarden win the championship this year. No offense to Scott Dixon and Marcus Ericsson's fans, but I am not a fan of Chip Ganassi. I do not like Honda. I'm a Chevy guy. I like Chevy-powered engines and equipment. I've always liked Chevys. My old family's had Chevys and GM products. But anyway, I hope that Justin Newgarden wins the title this year.
Yeah.
But Will Power's been extremely consistent this year. That's why he's leading the championship by only 4 points. So Newgarden needs a big day at Portland, a win. But I'd like to see Power win, or just a Team Penske driver win. Scott McLaughlin would be amazing. And, that'd be great.
Anyways, McLaren Racing CEO Zach Brown confirmed that an offer was made for Daniel Ricciardo to remain with McLaren in IndyCar and a driver for McLaren SP. So
it's a big thing there for IndyCar.
Yeah, it's huge.
But this also brings up a lot of questions because of the fact that who's going to drive for McLaren SP next season?
Yeah, that does bring up a ton of questions.
They're only a 2-car team with Pato O'Ward and Felix Rosenquist. But over this IndyCar season, they have a lot of controversy because of the fact that who's going to drive the second IndyCar?
They also have Juan Pablo Montoya, but he's going to be done by the end of the year.
Yeah, I've also heard like rumors that that Arrow McLaren SP Racing is going to be making a 3rd car at McLaren SP.
Yeah, but speaking of McLaren SP, they recently just signed Alexander Rossi.
We talked about that. It has been recent, yeah. He's going to add on more about that.
And Alex Pillow over the summer, and they said they are going to keep Rosenquist, but he might not drive an Indy car, but maybe he's going to drive the McLaren Formula E team, which is basically like Formula One, but Formula One.
It's electric.
And they have to like strategically plan out their stops. I can say this because I like this team in F1, but I feel like Ferrari wouldn't be good in Formula E because of the strategy that's involved. But yeah, I think that Formula E is a cool sport. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, what are you guys thinking about this next week? This next weekend's race, Owen?
At Portland?
Yeah, Portland.
I think it's going to be a great race. I hope it rains.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing if they put the rain tires, because I know the NASCAR Xfinity Series went there, and it rained, and AJ Allmendinger came away with the win, his second win of the season. He had probably one of the... He had a lot of, you know, issues during that race, spin-outs. It was a rough weekend for them, but somehow the dinger comes out on top on these road courses. Yeah. He's amazing at them, so, you know. What else you got for us, Trey?
So, apparently, I was just reading on the news, and McLaren SP might make a third or fourth car next year. Which, that'll be huge for them because of the fact that they have all kinds of...
Drivers,
They have an availability of drivers, and they also have an availability of, like, parts, so that... And they have a new shop.
Yeah, they have a new... Is it White's?
It's White Town. That's where.
I think it's. They're talking about Fishers.
Yeah.
No, that's
Or that's Penske.
The rumors that Andretti might be getting a Formula One team and putting headquarters there.
Yeah.
I believe it starts with a W. It's
probably Whitestown.
That's what I thought. Whitestown. Yeah, that's what I thought was Whitestown. So.
But apparently they are going to have. Yeah, never mind. That's pretty much it.
That's Owen? It. I thought there was more. I think there's more on there. I'm not gonna lie.
I think we should accumulate some news, heading into F1. But we're gonna have about 10 minutes left. Do you wanna give the listeners a little break?
Let's give you guys a break. So.
Pretty sure you guys are tired of hearing our voices.
Up next is Crocodile Rock by Elton John.
You're listening to All Gas No Brakes, Indy's Giant 90.9.
Yep.
14 with an engine grid penalty, and they're being loud in the studio. But he went alongside, close to Charles Leclerc, who was at the back of the field because of an engine grid penalty as well. But started P14, came back up to number one. Another disappointing week for Ferrari, though.
Yeah.
But Max Verstappen does still lead the Drivers' Championship by a lot of points.
Yeah, a lot. And it hurts for me to say it, but Charles Leclerc is down to third in the Drivers' Championship. That just must be getting punched in the gut. Like, that's a gut punch. Like, to Ferrari and
Sergio
Charles
Perez.
Leclerc. Yeah, Perez is in second in the championship.
Man. Yeah, Red Bull did take that 1-2.
Yeah.
So that's always good for a team if you take 1-2. But the thing is, after the Bahrain Grand Prix, after Australia, and after Saudi Arabia, then Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But after those three races, we thought that Leclerc, I mean, look at what is it this year? I'm trying to think of what the car name is. The Ferrari.
I'm not sure what the specific name is.
Yeah, but the Ferrari car is so much better than the RB18.
Yeah,
and it's so much better than the the W13.
Yeah,
and it's the best car on the grid. We've seen that it's the best car on the grid. Look at Leclerc in qualifying. Look at Sainz in qualifying. Yeah. But when you have a strategist and a team manager like Binotto, it's kind of hard. It's to be good.
I know. It's just been a lot of bad strategy calls from Ferrari this year. They should have won at Monaco. They've had a ton of reliability issues this season as well. They could have won, I don't even know, quite a few races this year. Spain, until reliability issues. Like, reliability, bad strategies. have just added on to the fire that has brewed. So McLaren has 3 wins this year. That's not going to cut it to win the championship.
But those 3 wins that he has are races where there was a good strategy and there was no reliability.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, like, if you're going to win, but, like, there's races where, like, where obviously when you're behind Verstappen, but, like, give an example, Perez, no reliability issues, no strategy issues. Even the races where, like, Verstappen struggles.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still finishing second, third.
Third, podium. Mm-hmm. Podium finish.
Podium, but not a win.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when Leclerc has no reliability, no strategy, he's winning.
Yeah, he's winning, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's only happened 3 times.
Yeah, it's
it's very rare.
It's a gut punch to the Ferrari fans this season because they've had a very
I'm raising my hand as a Ferrari fan.
Yeah, I'm a Ferrari fan too. They've had it's like a gut punch to the fans. Like, mm-hmm. It is so terrible. I watched this video on Instagram about this Ferrari fan, and he was going, he's like an older grandpa, and he was going crazy. Like, he was like talking about Ferraris. Like, this is terrible. Like, this is horrible. Like,
this isn't Sebastian Vettel days.
I miss Seb when he was at Ferrari.
Unfortunately, didn't win any driver championships, but he was still a great driver.
He was also Ferrari. Really good in Ferrari.
So we're going to finish it up here. Max Verstappen still leading. Like I said, still dominating. He's going to win his second World Drivers Championship, second in a row. That's 2 in a row for Verstappen, a huge race. The next following races, I believe Zandvoort is next.
Netherlands.
At Netherlands, yeah.
His home race.
Max Verstappen's home race, the Orange. What do they call it? The Orange Army?
Yeah, the Orange Army.
They'll be there, obviously, which is weird because, like, the Netherlands is the colors are like red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
But, like, they go like by orange.
Blue, white, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, blue, white, and red.
Something like that.
Something like that. He actually technically has, like, 2 home races. Like, Belgium's another
Belgium,
one.
Belgium,
and then he goes to Netherlands, so they're.
Because he is a Belgian-born Dutch.
Yeah, Belgian-born Dutch, so.
So, I got big news for the show, for All Gas, No Brakes. I might be having one of my friends that lives out in California call in. She actually races, like, midget sprint cars.
That's awesome.
That's
and
cool.
And I might
awesome.
Have her call in, and we can ask her a few questions we'd love to have her on the show.
Yeah, we'd love to have a guest on the show. Yeah, I'd love to have a guest. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Yep, all. But that's it for this week. What do you guys got?
I have some other things in the works for some people possibly on our show. Don't really know yet. We'll just have to get into that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to do it for All Gas No Brakes. Here is Big Slammer's outro. Big Slammer. Shout out to
Big Slammer.
To Sam, Big Slammer.
Love you, Sam.
All Gas No Brakes. See you guys. Giant 90.9.
Radio station BTSNOOP.
No makeup on.